Who remembers something from yesterday's class? Yeah. Only if lamentation. Yeah. Then we never come to the actual point. Thank you. Anyone else remember something? Oh, yes. Terrible. I don't want to become a monkey or a dog again. One time I was in New Zealand and I asked the devotees in the class, what is the worst thing you can think of becoming? And one devotee raised his hand and he said, a teenager. It's a tortured time, actually. Very, very difficult nowadays. And, of course, that is the ideal time in the spiritual world. Krishna is eternally, navayovanam cha, eternally that age. But when we try to imitate Krishna, we get ourselves into so much trouble and so much suffering, so much suffering. Anyone remember anything else? Yes. But intelligence means to see the future. Prabhu? Fruitive. Yes. And what sticks in my mind more than anything is that material life is always a promise. There is a romance there. But in time, by the power of time, and the time is Krishna's chakra, kalosmin loka chaya krit. This is kalosmin, the universal, the kala, the time factor, the Krishna's energy as time. It destroys everything and everyone. Not only every person, but everything. Prabhupada gave the example that the machines that we use as if they are doing something wonderful for us, they too will be destroyed in time. Everything. Crushed into powder. And if one keeps this, basically the death of the body, as part of his life, then one will make wiser, more intelligent decisions. One should live one's life knowing that this body is temporary, and one day each and every one of us, everybody, will die. In a culture that is still intact, the elders remind the youth of this fact, and the younger people live their lives according to that wisdom, and the wisdom that the older people have gained through living their life. But a contemporary culture, no one wants to hear about these things. No one wants to see old people. Everyone just wants to live. Prabhupada, indeed, in one of the purports, we may not read it today, but he speaks about the philosophy of Charvak Muni, which Charvak means materialist. A materialist means he accepts as real only what he can see with his eyes, practically speaking. What he can perceive with his senses. There is a famous German philosopher who was very proud, Feuerbach, who called himself a materialist, which means I accept this is real because I can see it, I can touch it. You talk about the soul being real, we can't prove that there's a soul, but we can prove that this is the body. I say right now, this is the way the materialists think. Charvak Muni and the materialists think. I say, just like we say, by saying my finger, that shows that I am not my body. They say by saying, I am feeling very strong today. That shows that you are your body. Because you're saying, I am feeling strong. So you naturally think you naturally are your body. I'm feeling tired. Therefore, clearly you're your body. You are the body. And the materialists say that when the body dies, it's the end. You come from the earth, you go back into the earth, and therefore, what should one do with one's life? You might as well enjoy as much as possible, because you're here for a short time. The body will certainly die. You will die. There's nothing left when the body dies. So you might as well enjoy life to your full satisfaction. And Prabhupada was fond of quoting Chavak Muni's saying that therefore the conclusion is get as much ghee as possible. Somehow or another, beg, borrow, steal, get ghee. Because with ghee, you can cook really nicely. And if you cook really nicely, you can eat really nicely. And if you eat really nicely, then you are happy. And that's life. And if you try to make life into... Am I convincing anyone? Am I converting everyone? And if you try to make life into more than that, you are a fool. So that's the materialistic philosophy. And of course, we don't agree. We don't agree. It is such a cynical, nihilistic way of viewing reality. There are so many arguments one can propose against that philosophy. How did this body come together in such an orderly way, for example? How does the creation come together? How come everything, the sun is rising on time, Mr. Materialist? Because you don't know the answer to these questions? Just like you only believe what you can touch and smell and taste and feel? So because you don't know the answer to these questions, that means there is no answer? Who built this building? You don't know? Do you know? Does that mean no one built it? Would you believe me if I told you that no one built it? No. No one would be so foolish. No, it was built by someone. So I may not know who built it, but does that mean that no one built it? You want me to believe that no one built it because I don't know? No, Mr. Materialist, we don't accept your argument. And then we will also say to the materialist, did you ever see someone who was dying? And did you ever see the exact moment of death? Raise your hand if you've ever been with someone at the exact moment. Were you with Archer then?
No, with Mula Prakriti.
You were with Mula at that time, yes. There is such a difference. Even though the body or the live body is so ill, it is so sick, maybe it has cancer, and it is not moving. Practically it's not breathing, it's not seeing, it's not hearing, it's not tasting maybe. Nothing is working. But yet, at the exact moment when the soul leaves, there is such a big difference. There is a live body, and in 1 second, gone. The person has gone. And soon as the person has gone, what does everyone do? What did they do when Mula left? Everyone said, Haribo! That's the difference for devotees. The materialistic people who think that the body is the person, they immediately, we don't want to make fun of their unhappiness, but they're crying. If they think the person is the body, and the body is right there, why are they crying? The body is still there. There's no difference. Only 1 second has passed. Then why are they crying? Because something has left. Life has gone. the soul has departed from that body. Dhiras tatra namuyate. The wise person, the dhira, the sober person, the person who is not intoxicated by maya, who can see. An intoxicated person cannot see things accurately. And on the other hand, the sober person sees things in the right perspective. So the sober person who sees the difference between the soul and the body and knows that the life is the part, life is the aspect or the symptom of the soul, not of the body. So he is not bewildered. So the romance of Paranjana's life is a dream. There's always the dream for enjoyment, the anticipation that, yes, if I have this, then. It's always if then. If I get this, then I'll be happy. But the then, the happiness, in fact, never comes. Or it comes and then it goes so quickly. Just like sitosna sugadugadaha. Just like what? Seasonal changes. They come and they go and they come and they go, and one cannot do anything about it except tolerate it, practically speaking. So Paranjana, his time for enjoyment is just about finished because old age is starting to visit him. Old age is starting to visit, and life's enjoyments, they dwindle at that point. So text 15 described how when King Gandhavaraj, Chandravega, Gandhavaraj means there are 360 soldiers and 360 female soldiers, so days and nights, one by one, each day steals away the life of the body. Because one's life, we can measure how long we will be in the body by a certain amount of years and days. So every day that we spend in this body means that we have one less day remaining in our life. Happy birthday. What does that mean? It means that I've died. I'm 1 year closer to death than I was last year at my last birthday party. I'm 1 year closer to death. Happy birthday. Thank you. One time I heard a lecture by a priest, a Catholic priest, and he said, if after my lecture, after my sermon, you still feel happy, I haven't done my job. Because we don't want the happiness of this world. Or do we? If we do want the happiness of this world, then we have to suffer the death of this world. We don't want the happiness of this world. Devotees don't want that. Their sights are set higher. So we have to be willing to look at material reality very straight and acknowledge what it means. Material reality means the death of the body. So day by day by day, year by year by year, these soldiers of Chandravega began to plunder the city of Paranjana, and he was protected by his life energy. When we get sick, when we get a cut, we don't think about these things. But we get sick, is it the medicine that gets us better? When we get cut, we put a band-aid on the cut. Is it the band-aid that makes the cut heal? No. This is Krishna's miraculous arrangement of the prana. I'm working the life force of the body, working its energy. There is a homeopathic saying that the doctor, this is the mood of, or at least of one Vrindavan homeopathic doctor. I treat the disease. I treat, but he heals. He meaning Krishna. He is the one who heals, but he does it with his sanction through this prana. So the prana, which was the five-hooded snake, was defending and trying to keep the body strong. Day by day we get weaker, but our life energy tries to keep the body strong. Text 16, the five-hooded serpent, the superintendent and protector of the city of King Paranjana. The city of King Paranjana is his body. Paranjana is the soul. His queen is his intelligence. So the five-hooded serpent fought with the Gandharvas for 100 years. In other words, he fought with time. And that is what it is. We are fighting with time. But time is an energy of the Paramatma. It is unstoppable. It is the chakra of Krishna. And this battle we are doomed to lose. So the five-hooded serpent, the superintendent and protector of the city, fought with the Gandharvas for 100 years. He fought alone with all of them. How many were there? 720. Although they numbered 720. Because he had to fight alone with so many soldiers, all of whom were great warriors, the serpent with five hoods became very weak. Seeing that his most intimate friend was weakening our life energy, King Paranjana, who is the inhabitant or the owner of the body, seeing that my body is becoming weak, I'm losing my energy. When does it start? When did you start to lose your life energy? You're a young boy. I remember after 30, it started slowly, slowly going down. I remember that very clearly. And then at 50, at least with me, then it started to become more dramatic. Very, very quickly, things started going wrong at 50. Did you have that experience? Did you have that experience? Well, everyone else has something to look forward to. Congratulations. It's not fun, but for devotees it really hits differently than for non-devotees. For devotees, again, they feel those things as the tap of Krishna's hand on their shoulder. Please be serious. Your time is coming. This is the law of nature. It is unbreakable, unstoppable. It's Krishna. That means Krishna is right there for the devotee. And this is, practically speaking, that which is really wonderful for a devotee is that in all circumstances, Krishna will be with him. If he wishes to be with Krishna. Krishna will be with us whether we wish him to be with us or not. But if we wish him to be with us, we will be conscious of him. Chaitasa savakamani maya sanyasi matpara bhuri yoga upashrita machita satatambhava. This is the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. That always be conscious of Krishna. And depending upon what our consciousness of Krishna is like, because Kamsa was conscious of Krishna, conscious in the sense of aware of Krishna. But that is not Krishna bhakti rasita bhavato mati. That is not Krishna consciousness as intended by Srila Prabhupada. Krishna consciousness means tasting the sweetness of the relationship with Krishna. as He is with us. There is not a question of being separate from Krishna. It is impossible. He is the absolute truth, the Param Satyam. And by definition, one cannot be separate from Him, external to Him. But if we become conscious of Him in a loving way, then we will cross over all obstacles. What is the verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Sarva Durgani, something Matrishyasi. That if you become conscious of Me, you will cross over all obstacles. Could you? By My mercy, you will cross over all obstacles. And if we think like that, by Krishna's mercy we can cross over all obstacles, then when an obstacle or a difficulty comes, we'll perceive that as Krishna tapping us. Yes, you should remember Me. If you become conscious of Me, you will cross over all obstacles. Therefore I'm coming as an obstacle to make you more conscious of Me. So, Paranjana was not in this mood. His mood was one of enjoyment. And as one becomes old, and as one's body starts failing, and as one's life energy starts diminishing, if one is a materialist, this is terrifying. Gradually. And usually, how do materialistic people face how do they deal with this terrifying fact that they are getting old and approaching death? How? Yes, in any way possible. Try to forget. They take shelter. And what is forgetfulness called? Maya. They take shelter of Maya. And the devotee, exactly the opposite, takes shelter of Krishna. More and more illusion the materialist takes shelter of. Forgetting reality, which faces them every time they look in the mirror. They can't deny it. Yet they try. They take shelter of illusion. So, King Paranjan and his friends and citizens living within the city became very anxious. They became worried. We'll read the beginning of Prabhupada's purport. The living entity resides within the body and struggles for existence with the limbs of the body, which are referred to here as the citizens and friends. One can struggle alone with many soldiers for some time, but not for all time. The living entity within the body can struggle up to the limit of 100 years with good luck. But after that, it is not possible to prolong the struggle. Thus the living entity submits and falls victim to what? Yes, and what is the agent that carries death? Time. Invincible, inevitable, unstoppable time. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has sung Vrida Kala Oila Saba Sukha Bhaga. When one becomes old, it becomes impossible to enjoy material happiness. And again, the old person starts looking at all the young people and saying, oh, I wish I could do that again. Oh, I remember when I could do that. Oh, and then sometimes in old age homes, what they do is the nurses, they treat all the old people as if they were children. Did anyone ever see this? Yes. They treat them just like children, and they have birthday parties, and the 80-year-olds, they act as if they're children, and they begin playing pranks or jokes on each other and doing silly things. And then one leaves, dies, and there's one less, and everyone, and then takes more shelter of illusion and forgets. and watching television and videos and this and that and playing silly, silly, silly games. So we don't want to be like this. The tendency is there, I notice it, to take shelter of illusion. But we shouldn't take shelter of illusion. We should take shelter of Krishna. Because illusion is durasraya. It is a false shelter. By forgetting we're going to die, does that mean we won't die? But by acknowledging that this is the situation and taking shelter of Krishna and holding tightly to his lotus feet, then we have a true shelter. Do we have enough experience in life to trust that? If we do, if we can personally answer that question, yes, I do have enough experience in life, then that person is very fortunate. And if we say, well, sometimes I do, then we have to gain that experience. It is in our own self-interest to gain that experience of Krishna's shelter. So King Paranjana collected taxes in the city known as Panchal and thus was able to engage in sexual indulgence. Being completely under the control of women, he could not understand that his life was passing away and that he was reaching the point of death. Just take shelter of some petty, temporary sense enjoyment, some pleasure that lasts a few moments, and in that way forget what's really happening. My dear King Puchini Barishat, at this time, the daughter of formidable time, what does formidable mean? Like very mighty, yes? Very substantial is the exact word. Very substantial in a strong sense of strong. Very substantial time. So at that time, the daughter of formidable time, in Sanskrit, it's Kalakanya. She was seeking her husband throughout the three worlds. She was looking for someone to marry. Although no one agreed to accept her, she came. So who is this daughter of time? What is born of time? We'll find out. Not quite death yet, but is Jara, old age. So old age came. When is the beginning of old age? But if we're going to live to 100, what is considered the beginning of old age? The very beginning. The 50. And then 60, by 60 we're well into it. Huh? Yeah, I think so. 50. Now it is 40. Now it is birth. We're just there. No one agreed to accept her. No one wants old age. But yet, she came. Prabhupada's purport. Short purport. In due course of time, when the body becomes old and practically invalid, it is subjected to jara, the sufferings of old age. There are four basic kinds of suffering: birth, old age, disease, and... No scientist or philosopher has ever been able to make a solution to these four miserable conditions. It is not that people in the years gone by have wanted to die and wanted to become diseased and wanted to become old. Everyone has been trying to, say, in the last 10,000 years, or say 5,000 years, how many people have lived on this planet? We can't say exactly, but billions and billions and billions and billions and billions over the last 5,000 years. Yes? Say 200 billion, 500 billion, who knows how many. But every single one of those persons didn't want to get diseased and didn't want to die, basically, and didn't want to become old. and according to their abilities, whether they were great yogis or doctors or powerful people or Einsteins or beautiful people or famous people or influential people, each one of those 100 billion people, now it's much more than 100, maybe a million billion, say, each one and every one of them tried using whatever abilities they had to stop birth, death, of old age and disease, and not one has succeeded. Not one has succeeded. We are dealing with a formidable enemy, very substantial. No scientist or philosopher has ever been able to make a solution to these four miserable conditions. For one who has taken his birth, death is certain, as sure as death. The invalidity of old age, known as jara, is figuratively explained here as the daughter of time. No one likes her, but she is very much anxious to accept anyone as her husband. She is trying to marry or combine with anyone and everyone. No one likes to become old and invalid, but this is inevitable for everyone. This is the bad news that is within which is hidden good news. And the good news is what? Huh? What?
Krishna.
Yes, Krishna is time, yes. What else is good news?
In this?
Huh? Yeah, we get a new body. That doesn't sound like good news to me personally at this point. But yeah, but we're not the body. We're eternal souls. That's, yeah, that we never die. Huh? Yeah. Nahanyate, hanyamane, shirire. The soul doesn't die. I don't die. Just like at one time I had a body the size of Gopal's body. And that body has died. It's gone. But I'm still here. And this body will also die. In 10 years, whatever, even if the soul is within this body, it'll have changed in so many ways. Every cell has changed. But I still remain the same. This is the good news. And Krishna remains the same. So if I awaken my relationship with Krishna, then I am very fortunate. And I'll read one song that, not right now, but a little later. I won't sing the song, but I'll read it. And it gave me something very much something to think about in this regard. How to awaken our relationship with Krishna. Because that's the purpose of all this, this information about the reality of the material body. So we don't become enamored, we don't become intoxicated by trying to enjoy the material world. Narada Muni and Srila Prabhupada are working very hard to wake us up from this intoxication, because Maya is very powerful, and it's an intoxication that will force us to die. So they are trying so hard to awaken us, and it is very bitter medicine. But inside there is a wonderful sweet, because if we awaken to our real life, then that real life is the most sweet of all things. But we have to put down the illusory life, the life of intoxication, the life of identification with the body. We have to stop trying to enjoy the material world. We have to stop looking at the material world and everyone and everything in it as if everything and everyone is meant for my pleasure. As if I was Krishna. That is the essential illusion. Because everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure, God's pleasure. When I think it's meant for my pleasure, then atta eva maya tari samsareta duk. By turning my back on Krishna, I'm in the material world. So, the daughter of time, Jara, old age, was very unfortunate. Why was she unfortunate? No one wants her. Yes, if you walk over to someone, if every person you see, hello, my name is something, I'd like to meet you. And everyone, no, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't want to ever see you. Every person, no one wants to have anything to do with you. Unfortunate situation. No one wishes to embrace you, take you as their own, make friends with you. Does anyone want to make friends with old age? No. Everyone wants to keep far distance. So, she was known as Durbhaga, ill-fated, unfortunate. However, she was once pleased with a great king, and that was King Puru. And because the king accepted her, she granted him a great benediction. So this will be described in the ninth canto, the story of Yayati. Prabhupada speaks a little about it in the purport. Now Narada Muni is speaking. When I once came to this earth from Brahmaloka, where did he come from? Huh? Brahmaloka. Okay. Siddhaloka. The highest planetary system, the daughter of time, Jara, wandering over the universe, met me. And knowing me to be an avowed brahmachari, she became lusty and proposed that I accept her. So Narada was a brahmachari. The great sage Narada continued, when I refused to accept her, and there is deep meaning in this too, when I refused to accept her request, she became very angry at me and cursed me severely. You cannot stay in one place for any time. You have to keep moving. You won't accept me? Well, then you cannot stay anywhere. She cursed Narada Muni. And because I refused her request, she said I would not be able to stay in one place for a long time. And Maharaj Daksha also similarly cursed Narada Muni. And that will come up in sixth canto. Six? Yes. Here's Prabhupada's... No, we won't read Prabhupada's purport right now. So far we've met Gandhava Raj, that's time, who has 360 soldiers day and night. By the way, Prabhupada in his purports, he speaks of the importance of being a devotee and brahmacharya, because especially for a man, staying celibate allows one to remain strong and keeps one's old age away. Prabhupada speaks very strongly about this. Those who are too much sexually addicted, he says at the end of purport to 21, become victims of jara. What is jara? And very soon their lifespan is shortened. Without utilizing the human form of life for Krishna consciousness, the victims of jara die very soon in this world. So Narada was strong and able to refuse the requests, the lusty requests of jara. The great sage Narada continued. Oh yes, then there's the curse. And Prabhupada says in this purport, I will read this. The great sage Narada Muni has a spiritual body. Therefore, old age, disease, birth, and death do not affect him. Narada is the most kind devotee of the Supreme Lord, and his only business is to travel all over the universe and preach God consciousness. In other words, he has no personal motive, nothing selfish in how he acts. In other words, his business is to make everyone a Vaishnava. Under the circumstances, there is ordinarily no need for him to stay in one place for more than the time he requires to preach. Since by his own free will, he is already traveling all over the universe, the curse of Kalakanya is described as fortunate. Like Narada Muni, many other devotees of the Lord are engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord in different places and in different universes. Such personalities are beyond the jurisdiction of material laws. 23. After she was thus disappointed by me, Narada Muni says, with my permission, she approached the king of the Yavanas. So there's been two personalities described so far. There is Gandhava Raj, who is time with its 360 days, 360 nights. Then there is Jara, the daughter of time, and she is old age. Now we're going to meet a third person called Yavana Raj. So time was disappointed with me. With my permission, she approached the king of the Yavanas, Yavana Raj, whose name was Bhaya. And who is Bhaya? Fear. And she accepted him as her husband. Here is Prabhupada's purport. Being the most perfect Vaishnava, Sri Narada Muni is always willing to do good to others, even to one who curses him. Although Kalakanya, the daughter of time, was refused by Narada Muni, she was given a shelter. Of course, no one could give her shelter, but a Vaishnava gives shelter somewhere to such an unfortunate girl. When Jara, or old age, attacks, everyone dwindles and deteriorates. In one stroke, Narada Muni gave shelter to Kalakanya and counterattacked the ordinary Karmis, the non-devotees. If one accepts the instructions of Narada Muni, the ocean of fear, Bhaya, can be very quickly removed by the grace of that great Vaishnava. Approaching the king of the Yavanas, Kalakanya addressed him as a great hero, saying, "My dear sir, you are the best of the untouchables. I am in love with you, and I want you as my husband. I know that no one is baffled, confused, if he makes friends with you." We'll read from Prabhupada's purport, one third of the way down the purport. If a person is Krishna conscious, he can work like a young man, even if he is 75 or 80 years old. And an example of this was Srila Prabhupada. And there are many Vaishnavas who have lived very pure lives and abstained from sexual activity especially, and they have incredible prana, incredible energy. I've seen some of Prabhupada's godbrothers like that. I've seen some of my own godbrothers like that. Very, very pure and so much energy, even when they're very old, even then when they're very old. Thus, we used to see that with Prabhupada, he'd walk so fast. And his young disciples at that time were only in their early 20s, most of them, had such a hard time keeping up with his fast walking. But thus the daughter of Kala, time, cannot overcome a Vaishnava. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami engaged in writing Chaitanya Charitamrita when he was very old, yet he presented the most wonderful literature about the activities of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami began their spiritual lives at a very old age, that is, after they retired from their occupations and family lives, yet they presented many valuable literatures for the advancement of spiritual life. We'll go down to the last part. Thus, jara, the effects of old age, does not harass a devotee. The body may get old, but the devotee has very deep, full life in him, spiritual life, that is not actually affected by old age, by the old age of the body. This is because if a devotee follows the instructions and determination of Narada Muni, all devotees are in the disciplic succession stemming from Narada, because they worship the deity according to Narada Muni's directions, namely the Narada Pancharatra and the Pancharatrika Vidhi, or the Pancharatrika Vidhi. A devotee follows the principles of Pancharatrika Vidhi, this is deity worship, as well as Bhagavata Vidhi. Bhagavata Vidhi, so the path of Krishna consciousness taught in this disciplic succession is Pancharatriki Vidhi, deity worship, and Bhagavad Vidhi. Now what is Bhagavad Vidhi? Prabhupada will speak about that. Bhagavata Vidhi includes preaching work, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Bhagavad Vidhi is basically the hearing and chanting. This is the essence, the life. The life of the Krishna consciousness movement. It is the life of the practices of sadhana. The practices of Krishna consciousness. And just is, and as if we do not pour water on a plant, it may not die, but it will die, it must die. So similarly, if devotees do not hear and chant sufficiently, practice enough Bhagavata Vidhi, hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna, their spiritual lives will die. Their devotional creeper will wilt. Therefore, Iyan Mali Seishi Nitya Shravanadi Jal. Mahaprabhu said that we must water the devotional plant, our Krishna consciousness, with the water of Shravanadi, hearing and chanting, etc. We must do this. And Prabhupada said, if a devotee, even if he thinks he's very mature, gives up the process of hearing and chanting, it is due only to offenses. We may have so many excuses, so many reasons in our mind, but actually it is due to offenses. So Bhagavad Vidhi includes the preaching work, Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu, hearing and chanting of the glories of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Pancharatri Vidhi includes Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. Because a devotee rigidly follows the instructions of Narada Muni, he has no fear of old age, disease, or death. So these two paths of Pancharatri Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi. Apparently, a devotee may grow old, but he is not subjected to the symptoms of defeat experienced by a common man in old age. Consequently, old age does not make a devotee fearful of death as a common man is fearful of death. When jara, or old age, takes shelter of a devotee, kalakanya diminishes the devotee's fear. So our bodies will also become old, but a devotee will clearly see that although my body is becoming old, I'm not changing at all. And therefore, he directly experiences, consciously, directly experiences, his identity is not of this world, of this body. And then he thinks, well, I'm not my body. Am I somebody else's body? What am I? I'm not this body. Am I that body? Which body? What am I? And then we remember so many years of hearing, so many years of speaking, so many years of reading, so many years of practicing sadhana of to actually realize my actual identity, my sarupa. Jivera Sarupoi Krishnair Nityadas. I am Krishna's servant. That's who I am. I'm Krishna's servant. So let me serve Krishna here, now, however I can, according to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master. And then, When I leave this world, where will I want to go? I want to go where He wants me to serve. Confident like that. No external desires. No other desire other than service. If one could be that pure, that realized, then death is fearless. Trust in Krishna, but it takes so much practice in life. It takes every time we're in a difficult circumstance. Who's been in a difficult circumstance in the last 1 month? Okay, it depends how difficult you want to decide. Okay, so yes, so are those bad or they're good? Are they practices, sadhana for dependence on Krishna? Is that Krishna tapping us on the shoulder? Well, it depends how you see it. It depends on your consciousness, your Krishna consciousness. Is Krishna reminding us what we have to do in difficult circumstances? Or if we think we're just going to, life is so nice all the time, and then when I die, it's going to be so nice, I'll go back to Godhead, oh, so nice. This is the way babies, start chanting Hare Krishna, this is how you think. Everything's going to be wonderful, no problems. It's like the honeymoon in Krishna consciousness. But it's not like that. Krishna's more kind than that. He wants to push us to remember Him and take shelter of Him, have us practice. So apparently a devotee may grow old, but he is not subjected to the symptoms of defeat experienced by a common man in old age. When jara or old age takes shelter of a devotee, kalakanya diminishes the devotee's fear because he's practiced taking shelter of Krishna. If we don't practice now, we're expecting to fully take shelter of Krishna when we're old? Doesn't work like that. Habits. We want to develop the habit born of continuous practice. A devotee knows that after death he is going back home, back to Godhead. Therefore he has no fear of death. Thus, instead of depressing a devotee, advanced age helps him become fearless and thus happy. And then the next text is Kalakanya giving some logic why Yavanaraj or fear should accept her. And then text 26, O gentle one, she's speaking to fear in that way, I am now present before you to serve you. So old age serves fear. I am present before you to serve you. Please accept me and show me mercy. It is a gentleman's greatest duty to be compassionate upon a person who is distressed. So Yavana decided to accept her and honor the request of Narada Muni to give her shelter, but he did it in his own way. So after hearing the statement of Kalakanya, the daughter of time, the king of the Yavanas began to smile and devise a means for executing his confidential duty on behalf of Providence. His duty on behalf of Providence means Krishna's arrangement. So by Krishna's arrangement, he's going to use old age in the service of fear. And that combination will do two things. Prabhupada will explain it in the purport, but it will break apart the illusion that non-devotees are experiencing, thinking I'm going to enjoy life on and on and on and on forever. Old age breaks that. It breaks that. They have to either take deep, deep shelter of illusion, more illusion, more deep illusion, drink more, watch more movies, do this, do that. Or they become very afraid. And that fear can very easily, if they have a little piety in them, it can turn them to Krishna. So the king of Yavan has replied to Jara, "After much consideration, I have arrived at a husband for you." In other words, I'm not going to accept you directly. Actually, as far as everyone is concerned, you are inauspicious and mischievous. You cause only trouble, old age. Since no one likes you, how can anyone accept you as his wife? Purport. Short purport by Prabhupada. "After much consideration, the king of the Yavanas decided to make the best use of a bad bargain. Kalakanya, that's Jara, old age, was a bad bargain, and no one liked her. But everything can be used for the service of the Lord." So no one wants to get old. No one wants to lose one's energy. No one wants one's body to fall apart. It's not that devotees relish this, how wonderful it is, my body is falling apart, oh Jai Prabhu. But everything should be used in Krishna's service. Thus the king of the Yavanas tried to utilize old age, her, for some purpose. The purpose has already been explained, that is Kalakanna, as Jara, invalidity of old age, can be used to arouse a sense of fear in people so that they will prepare for the next life by engaging in Krishna consciousness. 29. This world is a product of fruit of activities. Therefore, Yavanaraj, Bhaya, fear, says to Jara, "Therefore, you may imperceptibly," now note this word imperceptibly, avyaktagati. And I'm going to ask you what it means in this context. "Therefore, you may imperceptibly attack people in general, helped by my soldiers." Who are his soldiers? Time, day after day. "You can kill them without opposition." So he's saying that Jara, you may imperceptibly attack people in general. Why is Jara's attack imperceptible? Slowly, slowly, day by day. If we saw our life from 0 to 80 in a movie, and we sped it up so the whole movie of 80 years takes 2 minutes to watch, then we would see something quite amazing. Right before our eyes, boom! In 1 minute, we would see this cute little baby. In 1 minute, 10, and we'd want it to stop at 20 seconds when we were 16 years old, but it doesn't stop. It keeps going because this movie is slow. Day by day, we get older and older and one step closer to the inevitable of the death of the body. But because it's slow and gradual, we don't notice it happening. And then one day one wakes up and thinks, "Amazing. I'm 55 years old. I never thought that would happen." Really, that's what happens. Suddenly, "Oh, how did that happen? I'm 55, I'm 60. How did that happen? It was just yesterday that I was doing this and that." Imperceptibly, day by day, slowly, it's been happening continuously. And due to the influence of Maya, illusion, we don't notice it and we continue wasting our lives. So Prabhupada explains in his purport to this text, the word karma Vinaya mitam means manufactured by fruit of activities. The entire material world, especially in these days, is the result of fruit of activities. Everyone is fully engaged in decorating the world with highways, motor cars, electricity, skyscrapers, industries, business. And because this was written 40 years ago, probably, 64, no, but 35 years ago, say, Prabhupada didn't mention the latest and greatest of all decorations offered by fruit of activities is computers and mobile phones. Yes, these without these, how could anyone become civilized? One of the goals of India is to have every person, 1 billion people, 1 billion, 100 million people have a mobile phone. Jai! And we can imagine whose desire that really is, the people who are making the mobile phones and selling them. So all this appears very nice for those who are simply engaged in sense gratification and who are ignorant of spiritual identity. As described in the Bhagavatam 554, Nunam pramata kurute vakama yarindriya pritya pranoti nasarumanye yata atmano yam asan api kleshida ashadeha. Those without knowledge of the spirit soul are mad, crazy, after material activities, and they perform all kinds of sinful activities simply for sense gratification. According to Rishabdev, such activities are inauspicious because they force one in one's next life to accept an abominable body. Everyone can experience that although we try to keep the body in a comfortable position, it is always giving pain and it is subject to the threefold miseries. Otherwise, why are there so many hospitals, welfare boards, insurance establishments, pharmacies, chemists, drug stores, this, that? Actually, in this world, there is no happiness. This is Prabhupada strongly making this point to us, trying to awaken us from the slumber. People are simply engaged in trying to counteract unhappiness. Foolish people accept unhappiness as happiness. Therefore, the king of the Yavanas decided to attack such foolish people imperceptibly by old age, disease, and ultimately death. Of course, after death, there must be birth. Therefore, Yavanaraj thought it wise to kill all the Karmis through the agency of Kalakanya and thus tried to make them aware that materialistic advancement is not actually advancement. Every living entity is a spiritual being, and consequently, without spiritual advancement, the human form of life is ruined. And the final text. The king of the Yavanas continued with his plan what to do with Jara, to combine Jara with his brother. Here is my brother Prajar. I now accept you as my sister. I shall employ both of you as well as my dangerous soldiers. So there seems to be, Chandravega seems to be connected with Yavanaraj. At least it appears here they may be the same person, because Chandravega before is described as the one possessing the soldiers, and here he seems to be also equated with Yavanaraj as fear. Time causes fear. So I shall employ both of you as well as my dangerous soldiers to act imperceptibly within this world. Prajara is fever, the fever that precedes death. And we'll read just the end of Prabhupada's purport here. Yavanaraja's brother was Prajara, and Kalakanya was invalidity itself, combined and strengthened by the soldiers of Yavanaraj, namely, here's what the soldiers of Yavanaraj are. Non-hygienic conditions elicit sex and ultimately a high degree of temperature to bring on death. They would be able to smash the materialistic way of life. In this connection, it is significant that Narada was immune to the attack of jara or invalidity, and similarly jara or the destructive force cannot attack any follower of Narada Muni or a pure Vaishnava. Very, very heavy. And the next class is similarly, tomorrow's class. Oh. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, 27th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Attack by Chandavega, Time on the City, the Body of King Paranjana. Paranjana means every living entity living in the city of a material body. Now, I would like to read some songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then there was one that especially struck me. This is from Sharanagati, with the desire to awaken devotion and surrender within our heart. My life is ever given to sin. In it there is not a particle of goodness. I've caused others great anxiety, and I have troubled all souls. For the sake of my own enjoyment, I never hesitated to perform sinful acts. Devoid of compassion, I am concerned only with my selfish interests. Perpetually I speak lies. I become unhappy and dejected when I see others happy, whereas the misery of others is a source of great delight for me. There are limitless material desires within the core of my heart. I am wrathful. What does wrathful mean? Angry. I am arrogant, so proud, vain, and bewildered by worldly affairs. I wear the cherished ornaments of envy and egotism. Ruined by laziness and sleep, I resist all pious deeds, yet I am very enthusiastic to perform wicked acts. For the sake of worldly fame and reputation, I engage in the practice of deceitfulness. I am victimized by my own greed, being always full of lust. A vile, wicked man such as this, rejected by godly people, is a constant offender. Devoid of all good works, forever inclined towards evil, he is worn out and wasted by various miseries. Now, in old age, deprived of all means of relief, thus humbled and poor, Bhaktivinoda submits his tale of grief at the feet of the Supreme Lord. O Lord, please hear the story of my sadness. I drank the deadly poison of worldliness, pretending it was nectar, and now the sun is setting on the horizon of my life. I spent my childhood in play, my youth in academic pursuits, and in me there arose no sense of discrimination. In young manhood, I set up my household. I settled down to the spell of material enjoyment while my children and friends quickly multiplied. Old age soon arrived, and all joys consequently departed. Subjected to the torments of disease, I am troubled and weak. All my senses are feeble now. My body is racked by pain. It is exhausted. My spirits are downcast in the absence of former sense pleasure. Devoid of even a particle of enlightenment, cheated of all the mellows of devotion, what help is there for me now? O Lord, you are the friend of the fallen. I am certainly fallen, the lowest of men. Please, therefore, In mercy, lift me to your lotus feet. Were you to judge me now, you would find no good qualities. Have mercy and judge me not. Cause me to drink the honey of your lotus feet and thereby deliver this Bhaktivinoda. O Lord, I offer this humble prayer at your lotus feet. I gave up the shelter of your feet, which are as soft as newly grown leaves. And now my mind has become dried up like a desert, being scorched by the fire of absorption, of inhorrible worldliness. I find no strength to rise again, and thus I spend my days bitterly lamenting. O Lord, who is called the master of the meek and humble, your lotus feet are my only hope. There has never been a soul as forlorn, all alone, left behind. No one has been like this as much as I am. Please be merciful and award me the association of your devotees. For by tasting the pleasure of hearing discussion of your pastimes, I shall give up all evil. One hope brings life to my soul, to spend day and night singing your holy name while living in your divine abode. Your servant Bhaktivinoda begs a place in the supremely cooling shade of your lotus feet. Now listen carefully to this one. O Lord, with such a wicked mind as this, I have fallen into the material world. But you have sent one of your pure and elevated devotees to rescue me. He saw me so fallen and wretched. He took pity and he came to me saying, O humbled soul, please listen to this good tiding, for it will gladden your heart. Sri Krishna Chaitanya has appeared in the land of Nabadweep in order to deliver you. He has safely conducted many miserable souls such as you across the sea of worldly existence. To fulfill the promise of the Vedas, the son of a Brahmana of golden complexion and bearing the name of Mahaprabhu has descended along with his brother, the Avadhuta Nityananda. Together, they have overwhelmed all of Nadia with divine ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Gosai, who is Krishna himself, the son of Nanda, has saved the world by freely distributing the gift of his own holy name. Go to him also and receive your deliverance. Hearing these words, O Lord, Bhaktivinoda has come weeping and weeping to the soles of your lotus feet, and he tells the story of his life. So what, the question I wish to ask, is how has Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu safely conducted many miserable souls such as me across the sea of worldly existence? How has he done it? This we have to study, we have to think about. But exactly the main methodology has given, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said here, he has saved the world by freely distributing the gift of his own holy name. Go to him also and receive your deliverance. So what does it mean to receive your deliverance? To receive the holy name. But then when we receive it, then we have to take to the means that he has given. And that is what? But don't answer. Think about it. He's given the holy name and we want to take it. But then what? We're export business only? Take and distribute? Think about it. I'm not asking for an answer, but this is something to think about. What does it mean? What does it mean? Just so simple? Yes, it's just so simple, but what? How are we going to get delivered by taking this gift? Think about it. Think about it. Maybe we'll ask tomorrow what your conclusions are. But don't think superficially. And don't act superficially. That doesn't last. Why do people come and go? Krishna's movement. Been given the gift. Why do they go? What should I do so that I don't go? Or maybe I want to go. Think. How to achieve the great gift that Krishna's holy names can award. Abhinatvam namanam. Krishna is there in his holy name. Fully. So that we heard how what Prithu Maharaj said, what Rupa Goswami said, and what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said about how they chant the holy names with their desires, how they're so enraptured by the holy names that they're praying for millions of years and millions of tongues, and the holy name is dancing within the courtyard of their hearts. And here I am. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare Rama, Rama. The only thing that is dancing is my mind. So how to actually take advantage of the gift that Mahaprabhu was giving? Something to think about. Anyway, that's how I look at it. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Harinam Prabhu ki jai.